Morning, but we thought, given the context with all the children in and out here at the farm, we would call an audible, and so we're going to do one more psalm this summer, Psalm 150. So hopefully you're there in your Bibles. I gave you lots of time to get there. This is the end of book 5 of the Psalms and is a very concise song of praise to God. It has a lot of elements of praise in it, and we want to look at those together this morning. So, if you would, follow along. Hopefully you have a Bible in front of you. Psalm 150, following if you would as I read. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine. I'll read that again. Praise Him with tambourine. Is Shelby in here? That's just in the ESV. Fair enough. And dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is God's word. So, let's take a look then at a number of questions, because this is sort of a primer for praise. We want to use the 5 W's and include how, who, what, when, where, why, and how. What is the psalmist calling us to? What is he inviting us into? First question we have then is, what are we invited to do? And your sermon note should be for you there on the song sheets. Hopefully you can follow along. No subpoints this morning. I wanted to keep it as simple as possible. So what are we called to do? We are called right out of the gate to praise 12 times, 13 if you include another one that's at the end there. We are called to praise God. What does that mean to praise? It means to hold as weighty, to render as majestic, to exalt, to worship as we have done already this morning and are continuing to do, to hallow, to extol, as we learned last week from Psalm 145. To be grateful, to recognize the one from whom all things come. And so we are called to praise. This is not something that we do often or often enough. If we do, it's oftentimes directed at ourselves. And so we see from the psalmist, the next point is then, who are we praising? We're not to praise ourselves, which you oftentimes do, or those things that are not worthy thereof, but we are called to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, that's how the psalm opens, that's also how the psalm ends. Who are we praising? We're praising God, the one who spoke all things into existence, and by whose word all things hold together. The one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. The one who is the Father over all. The one who is the Redeemer and Reconciler of sinners. The one who is gracious and merciful. The one who is gentle and kind. The one who is holy and righteous. The one who is compassionate. The one who is love and truth. And all of these things and so much more. He is the one that we are to praise. That's why there's 150 psalms in the Psalter, all directed towards praise of God, the exaltation of God. He is worthy of it. Now there's an interesting question that maybe you haven't thought of, but the back half of verse 1, the next question is, where are we praising God? We are to praise the Lord, but where are we to do so? It says, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. I don't know if you've pondered on this, but we say this oftentimes at Grace as we enter into musical worship. Every time we do that here on earth, we're joining a worship service that's always in progress. We're going to end the benediction with Revelation 5. If you read Revelation 4 and 5, there is a worship service to God that never ends. It has been ongoing since creation, and it will continue forever. And so when we enter into corporate worship here on earth, we're actually modeling what is going on in the heavenlies. In a sense, heaven and earth are coming together. It's what Jesus did when He incarnated. It's what's going to happen as we continue our walk through Revelation. When the New Jerusalem comes down, God with us. God was with his people in the garden. They rejected him. God continued to be with his people throughout the Old Testament. God literally was with us, Emmanuel, as Jesus incarnates. God is with us through his Holy Spirit, as we read from Ephesians. And he will one day be present with us fully as the New Jerusalem is on the new heavens and the new earth. We get a glimpse of that every time we praise God, every time we worship. There's always praise going on in the heavens, and God says, praise him in his sanctuary. You'll note then that praise is also to be corporate. There are ways that we can worship God individually. But what an amazing privilege it is to worship God corporately and collectively. And as we look around this morning, we see people that speak different languages than us, that have different cultures and cultural backgrounds than us, different ethnicities. All of these individuals come together for one purpose, and that is to praise God. Amen. That's amazing. So there's a corporate reality. And as we do, we also model what's coming, because in Revelation 5:7 it says, there is coming a day when people from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation will gather around the throne and say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. And as we do that here this morning, and as we do that every Sunday, we actually model what is to come and what already is. Heaven and earth touch, if we can put it that way, as we worship. That's a heavy thought. It's a beautiful thought, and maybe one that we haven't thought of before. But there is something that is weighty about our worship. It matters that you're here. It matters that we're together lifting our voices to praise God. Now in verse 2, we ask the question, why are we praising God? Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We don't know what the psalmist had in mind. There's too many to recount. In the nation of Israel, certainly creation, but the creating of the nation of Israel, the 10 plagues of Egypt and walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, the numerous times that God showed up in mighty ways for his people. The greatest display of God's power in the Old Testament is the Exodus, redemption from slavery. The greatest example of God's power in the New Testament is the crosswork of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. The nation of Israel was freed from physical slavery. We can be freed from spiritual slavery, from bondage to sin. The gospel is the greatest work of God, and we are the greatest result of that greatest work. We're here to praise him, to his praise, because if it were not for him working in our lives, opening our hearts and minds to see our need of a Savior, to see his beauty and our ugliness, but to see the reality that he sent Jesus Christ to become one of us, to live righteously, die sacrificially, and raise triumphantly, that is the greatest display of God's power, and we are the greatest example of what he can do when he can reconcile a sinner to himself. Every one of you here this morning could come up to this microphone if you are a child of God and you could share your story. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace. That's why we praise God. We praise him for what he has done. We praise him for his glory. We praise him for reconciliation and redemption in Jesus Christ. And now we get to the fifth place. How are we to praise God? Praise him with trumpet sound, lute, harp, tambourine, dance, strings, pipe, sounding cymbals, loud clashing cymbals. There's a lot here, but I want to highlight a couple of things. First of all, there is great diversity in praising God. Trumpet sound in that era was not the brass instrument that we know of today, but more of a ram's horn shofar. It was a single sound. It would not be something you could necessarily listen to for enjoyment or sing to or dance to. It called Israel to war. It called Israel to different things. And yet, as it did that, it reminded the people of God that God was with them. So this single blast trumpet sound can worship God. We can worship him with stringed instruments, lutes, and harps. We can worship him with tambourine. We're going to start incorporating that, I think, into our weekly worship. Is that? Notice there's physicality. Some of us Baptists might sort of shrink back in our beach chairs. Dance. Yes, it's there. There's physicality. There's movement. Why is it that we can celebrate more this afternoon in front of our televisions watching football or NASCAR, depending on your sport, or something else, and yet we come in here this morning and there seems to be a cap on our worship, on our praise? Praise Him with the dance. There's a physicality to worshiping God. Strings and pipe, sounding cymbals, loud clashing cymbals. This is a life verse of every drummer. And that's the second thing. There is diversity in worshiping God and praising God. There is also enthusiasm and exuberance in worshiping God. Sounding cymbals, loud clashing cymbals. It has the idea of giving everything in worship to God. Put perhaps simply, if you're not sweating after you've worshiped God, maybe you're not doing it right. There's an exuberance here. I recall in 2 Samuel, and it's part of your reflection questions or questions for the reflection. David wants to bring the ark from Shiloh down to Jerusalem. He wants to have a permanent temple for God. He's not going to be able to build it. Solomon will build it after he's gone. But he wants to centralize the worship of God as it was in the wilderness of the tabernacle. And so they bring the ark, and as they bring the ark, they put it on an ox cart. It's not the way that God prescribed. And it's unsteady, it begins to fall, and Uzzah puts his hand out, touches the ark, which you are not supposed to do, and God strikes him down. God strikes him dead. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're at a party and somebody dies, it generally kills the vibe, pun intended. Everything stops. Worship halts because they had a lack of reverence. And because they lack reverence for God, everything stopped. Obed-Edom gets the ark. David goes back to Jerusalem, disappointed and saddened. But then it's told him that this ark has brought great blessing to the house of Obed-Edom. And so he says, maybe God has forgiven. Let's now continue with the ark. And as he does, it says that he danced before the Lord with everything that he had, with all of his might. Unfortunately, Michal, the daughter of Saul, is watching this display. She's rather displeased with her husband. She lets him know that at the end of the chapter. And I think for many of us, as reserved and somber Baptists, we would resonate more with Michal than with David. God has saved our eternal souls, and we're like, yes, thank you, Jesus. It's fantastic. But God calls us to diversity in worship. So if someone raises their hands and you don't, that's completely fine. Someone claps and you don't, that's also fine. There's diversity of instrumentation, diversity of movement, diversity of worshiping God. There's also exuberance and enthusiasm. They are worshiping God with everything they have. Question, when's the last time you worshiped God with everything that you had? Because He's worthy of it for all that He's done for us. So how would He worship God? With exuberance and with diversity. Who should praise God? In verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You owe your life to your Creator. You would not be here without Him. And human beings made in the image of God actually have God's breath in them. Adam is the only part of creation that God breathes into him the breath of life. You are breathing the air that God is allowing you to borrow from Him. Your life is His. So we have every reason to praise God. But if you are in Jesus, if you are saved here this morning, follower of God the Father through Christ by the Spirit, you owe Him your life a second time because you've been born again. You were once lost in your trespasses and sins, but now God has given you new life in Christ. You owe Him your life twice. And so every breath should praise God. Let everything that has breath praise God. And when should we praise God? Well, since he tells us 12 to 13 times in this passage to praise the Lord, we can assume that it's implied we praise him all the time. There's no break to our praise. Whatever you do for a living, if you're pushing back against the dark, if you are bringing light to that situation, you can worship God. You can worship God as you do some plumbing. You can worship God as you construct a stairwell. You can worship God as you deliver stuff through a courier, if that's where you work. You can worship God no matter what you do, you can worship Him. Because if you're doing it for His glory, to the praise of His name, that's worship. Everything that has breath should praise the Lord, and we should praise the Lord all the time. Which leads us to our final point. How do we do this? Because how many people here this morning say, this is me, this psalm is written about me. I praise God from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep. I'm praising God all the time. I'm giving everything I got in worship. God has an amazing worshiper in me. I'm nailing this. Anybody? I certainly don't have my hand up, all right? So how do we do this? The only way we do this is if we see how precious and how beautiful and how glorious and how great God is, and the only way we see that is through Jesus Christ. Left to our own devices, we do not see him as good, we do not see him as glorious, we do not see him as praiseworthy, we do not see him as one that should receive our gratitude and our thankfulness. We think that we're good enough, and that we're smart enough, and that we're pretty enough, and that we're moral enough. We think that we're better than others as we compare. Left to ourselves, we worship ourselves. It's been going on since our first parents, Adam and Eve. Only in Christ can God break through and show us who we actually are, wretched sinners deserving of death both now and in eternity, and see who he is, the glorious one who is full of mercy and grace, who is gentle and lowly towards sinners and calls all to repentance. When we can see that, that changes our mindset. Now we can actually praise God where before we were not. But how do we continue to praise him? Many of us in this barn here this morning have been believers in Jesus Christ for many years. And like all relationships, if we don't invest in them, we started this morning with an announcement for our marriage ministry. I encourage every married couple to come. We need to invest in our relationships, because if we don't, we drift and they get stale. We need to remind ourselves, we need to do what we're doing right now. We need the corporate gathering, because when we're down, somebody at Grace Baptist Church is up. We need them to pick us up. We need music. We need the reading of the word. We need prayer. We need to know that there's more than just us that are worshiping God, because maybe where we work or where we go to school, we feel like we're the only one. But like Elijah, God says, I've got thousands of people that worship me, and this morning helps us remember that. It helps us know we're not alone in this. Maybe your spouse does not worship God, does not honor God, does not know God. Maybe your child has wandered away from God. There's a hole this morning where you stand or where you sit. We need this corporate gathering to remind ourselves that God is good. He is glorious. His name is to be praised. We need this gathering, and we need to daily remind ourselves of all that God has done for us. And if a sporting event causes more excitement in us than the fact that our eternal soul has been rescued from hell by Jesus Christ, then we need a constant gut check. We need to ask ourselves, what's more important? What has a more eternal weight and value? Remembering all that Jesus is and all that he has done, the mighty acts of God, this is how we can praise God. And we know that where we fall short, Jesus succeeds on our behalf. Praise his holy name. He is not up in the heavenly saying, sorry, you didn't worship me enough today. That's a demerit point for you. You're on my naughty list. No, God, like a good father, desires relationship with his children. He desires our worship and praise, not because he's some cosmic egotist, but because that is what is best for us. I tell parents all the time, from the womb, your job is this. Your job is to let your children know there is a God, and it's not you. And we need that reminder. There is a God, and he's not us. But as we praise him, as we hold him as weighty, as we hold him as high and mighty, as we hold him as glorious, as we thank him and praise him, it not only impacts him, he doesn't need our worship, but more importantly, for us, it impacts us, it lifts our souls, it enables us to see rightly where before we were not. So thank God for this last psalm in the Psalter, this condensed little psalm that lets us know how we can praise, why we praise, who we praise, when we praise, all of these things, all packed into this tight little 6-verse psalm. So let us continue to praise the Lord as I pray and as the music team returns and leads us in a final song this morning. God, thank you for this opportunity to praise you in this way. What a beautiful thing it is for the family of God to come together. We have visitors from many different provinces here this morning and many different countries. What a joy, what a delight, what a blessing to know. There are many people around our globe that praise you, that hold you as high and mighty, as precious, as eternal, as infinite, as necessary, that they worship your holy name. Because, Father, like us, they were lost, they were undone, they were sinners, as we all are, and you broke through. You showed them that, and you showed them the only way of salvation, which is through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, in that way, you gave them hope, the only hope that we can have, eternal hope, because of eternal life in Christ. So, Father, we pray if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you, Father, that they would come to know you even this morning. But know this is real. This is true. You have always been in the business of redemption, and you still are. And we thank you for that. God, we have so many reasons to praise your name. Help us to do that now and always, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.